Hi there, I'm Dr. Linda, and this is the Psychology Behind podcast. Now, before we get into our topic this week, I wanted to say a huge thank you for the brilliant response that I've had so far. A lot of you are getting in contact, you're giving me ideas, and that's great because the whole point of doing this is about, I guess, trying to speak to the things that concern us all, the things that are on our mind, and I guess helping everyone kind of have a greater understanding about why they feel the way that they do and what to do about it. Now, one that really caught my eye when I was writing these up last week was a tweet about coping with trauma. Now, around 50% of us will experience a traumatic event at some point in our lives. And of course, reactions to trauma vary widely. Not everyone develops PTSD. But what's really important when trying to make sense of the effects of trauma, I think, is an understanding of how it affects us, not just psychologically, but very crucially, how it affects our brain function. Because I think if we can understand that, then we can couch our symptoms in a way that we feel that they make more sense. So I want to start off today by looking at how trauma actually affects different parts of the brain, and in particular, the parts that deal with problem solving, emotion, and fear, because this is where the most significant changes tend to appear. So firstly, the part of the brain where we process thought, let's call it the thinking center, is sort of the prefrontal cortex, right? Now, this is where we do all our problem solving, our rational thinking, our planning. You know, it's a part of the brain that helps us differentiate between all those conflicting thoughts. You know, should I cook dinner first, or should I, you know, should I do the dishes, or, you know, do I need to make that phone call? What am I trying to do here? You know, it helps us determine future consequences of current activities. If I don't work out, is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing? And it also helps us work towards defined goals. So in a sense, it's kind of the control panel of our brain. And when this area is working well, we are able to think clearly and we can make good decisions. Second part of the brain that's affected by trauma is the area that regulates emotion, right? And this is the anterior cingulate cortex, the ACC. So this part of the brain works really closely with the thinking center that we just spoke about, and it allows us to manage difficult emotions without feeling overwhelmed by them, right? So it's involved in things like impulse control. So it's the part of the brain that makes you think twice, for example, before sending that angry tweet or posting that snarky comment on Instagram. Basically, it ensures that we're able to manage our emotions so that we don't do things we regret. And finally, I want to speak about the fear center of the brain, the amygdala. Now, this is a tiny structure deep inside our brain, and its primary job is to take the information from the world around us and answer the question, is this something that I should be worried about? Is this a threat? And if it deems that something is, then what it does immediately is it initiates feelings of vigilance, right? So you're looking around to see what's happening, and also feelings of fear. Now, what's interesting in the traumatized brain is that the thinking center and the emotion regulation centers actually become underactive while the fear center becomes overactive. So basically, the functions of those kind of more primitive areas of our brain that, you know, have to do with fear and impulse, well, they're in overdrive, while those kind of higher order parts of our brain that help us regulate emotions and think through things rationally, well, they're underactivated. And I think it's for this reason that a lot of clinicians and researchers that study trauma believe that the classic symptoms of trauma, like hypervigilance and chronic stress and this inability to feel like you're safe, well, that's why they're happening. These symptoms are all a result of this hyperactivity in the old part of the brain, the fear center. Now, look, I don't normally go into that much detail about sort of psychophysiology, but the reason I thought it was important to do that here is because understanding your symptoms, right, understanding why you feel the way you feel can be really helpful, because what it does is it normalizes how you're feeling. And I guess it gives you a sense of volition over your condition. Now, of course, getting over trauma takes a lot of effort, time, repetition, and many times, you know, it's a lot of professional support. So it's a good idea to find a good trained therapist to help you through the process. However, there are a few things that you can also do on your own in conjunction with treatment that can help. And I think this is especially true if you've experienced, you know, for example, the trauma of a bereavement recently, or something that's happened that may have hit you that you don't think that this is full-blown PTSD, but you are having some of those memories coming back, or having that difficulty getting over it. And here are the five things that I think can really help. Number one, deactivate the fear. Start deactivating all those feelings of anxiety and fear by learning how to breathe and focus. Now, the simple act of incorporating mindfulness, meditation, even that kind of good, deep, diaphragmatic breathing in your daily routine, it can really help. There's a lot of studies out there that, you know, that look at symptoms that have to do with trauma, like those intrusive memories, that fear and avoidance, all that increased emotional arousal, and show that they can be mitigated if you learn how to refocus your thoughts and regulate the way that you breathe. So next time you get those fearful thoughts, instead of giving in to them, try really hard to refocus your mind. Focus on your breathing. In and out. Focus on those things that bring you into the present. A lot of what is happening when we're afraid is we're being pulled back to that trauma, pulled back to those memories. So being able to just be in the present, even if that means that the thing that you're filling your mind with is the way that you breathe, the way that it feels going into your nose and down your throat and filling up your lungs and coming out. If you do that for a few minutes, then it should really help bring you back to the present, help you cope with some of that anxiety you're dealing with. Number two, practice good self-care. Following a trauma, be it the death of a loved one, or if you've been involved in an accident, it's really important to try and take a beat and slow things down. Try your best to reduce the pressure that you put on yourself and do things that allow you to relax and unwind rather than putting pressure on yourself to get right back to the same amount of productivity and workload that you've always had. You know, working 12-hour days is great, but following a trauma, you may need to kind of reduce that a little bit, and that's okay. You need to make space for the impact of what happened. You need to make space and care for yourself. Now, of course, that doesn't mean, you know, everything goes out the window, but it does mean you're a bit kinder to yourself and you allow yourself the space to relax, unwind, and deal with the pain that you're going through. Number three, rely on routine. Routine can also be really good for you. Now, daily routines and activities, what do? They provide us with a sense of comfort because we know what's happening next, right? So there's a comfort in knowing what comes next. There's like an emotional stability to it, sort of familiar places or smells or behaviors. They make us feel grounded. So it's important to try and strike a balance where you slowly return to your regular routines, but also allow yourself the chance to do this, as we said earlier, at a slower pace. Number four, do something social. Now, when we don't feel like ourselves, the last thing we want to do is be around people. And look, it's completely understandable. We feel that the pressure to perform, we think that, you know, we want to protect maybe, you know, our friends and family of how bad we're feeling, or we, you know, we worry about them kind of asking us questions that are going to, you know, make us feel worse. So it's completely understandable that, you know, your go-to place is going to be staying as far away as, you know, as possible. And while, of course, there's nothing wrong with the odd Netflix binge or, you know, the early night in, if you find that you are actually beginning to avoid situations that are social and you're doing this consistently, so you're basically blanket avoiding situations, then this can actually be a problem. So remember, being around other people, and when I say other people, I mean loved ones, I mean people that are close to you, can actually be really good for you. So make some low stress plans with those that are closest to you. And you know what? It may mean that you say, you know, I can't stay for long, but just the fact that you're out, you're around people, and you're able to get that support is really important. You know, and of course, you don't go in there with the expectation that you have to be the life of the party. It's okay to be with friends after you've experienced a trauma and say, do you know what? I'm not feeling 100%. They will understand, and it's okay to let them take care of you. So that's a really important one. Finally, number five, take it one day at a time. Traumas are by their very nature overwhelming. They come out of the blue, they blindside us with their force, and their impact can last long after they're gone. In order to make sense of them, we ruminate about their meaning, not just for the here and now, but for the future too, and what it means for how we'll cope. And so it's really important that you pace yourself. Gently remind yourself, one day at a time. And if that's too much, just get through the next hour. Manageable spaces of time with an emphasis on the here and now will not only make you feel more in control, but they'll reduce the anxiety that you feel around your trauma and help you move forward more positively. Well, this has been The Psychology Behind. As always, it's been brilliant speaking to you about an area that I'm passionate about. If you're enjoying the series, please make sure to subscribe and share it with someone that you think might enjoy it too. Thanks so much for being with me this week, and look forward to chatting next week.